70. I want to read the psalm for us, Psalm 70. You'd appreciate the singing of the Karen folk this morning. That was a blessing. That's good. Psalm 70, reading verse 1 through 5. Starting in verse 1, book of Psalms 70, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward, put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, Let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we're thankful, Lord, for the singing. And, Lord, we could say yes to that, Lord. What a blessing that is. And, Father, above all, though, we trust that it has brought some pleasure to you. For, Lord, for thy pleasure we are and were created. And we trust, Lord, that you would be pleased with the praise of our lips this morning. Lord, for you are worthy. And Father, I pray now that you would speak to our hearts through your word. The things that are said this morning, Lord, would have some eternal significance. And, Lord, as a result of being here today, Lord, we might be better Christians, Lord, better able to serve you. And, Father, maybe if there's anybody this morning here who's not saved, that today might be the day of their salvation. Lord, quicken us now that we might have eyes to see, ears to hear what you'd have for us by thy Spirit. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 4 says, Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, Let God be magnified. I want to preach on that verse this morning. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, Let God be magnified. I want to break the verse down a little bit by bit as we go through it. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad. Those that seek God. We have people everywhere today seeking all sorts of things. People are seeking happiness. People are seeking to be wealthy. People are seeking to be famous. People are seeking all sorts of things today, and they are not seeking for the one who alone can fulfill their every need. We need to seek God. Let all those that seek thee rejoice. I want to ask you this morning, are you a seeker after God? I'm not talking about a seeker after church or a seeker after religion or a seeker after having some nice feelings or a seeker after all these other things, happiness and wealth. We're not seeking after those things. We ought to be seeking after God. You say, I thought once you got saved, that was it. Well, what do you mean, that was it? When you get saved, that's the start. That's not it. Salvation is only the very first step, and of course the most crucial and vital step. If you're not saved, then none of this makes any sense to you. You know, it's interesting, we were talking about this just recently to different folk, how you try and talk to people and they just don't get it. And the reason they just don't get it is because the natural man understands not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness under him, and neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. And so be encouraged as a believer when you're talking to someone and they just don't get it. Don't be so surprised. They're not going to get it. They need to be saved. And once you're saved, then you can start to understand spiritual truths and spiritual things and understand a little bit about God. Let all those that seek thee. And you and I need to be seekers after God. We're saved, bless God, but now seek after God. You know, too many people are seeking to have their needs met in the wrong way. They're seeking relationships. Young people are seeking to find a husband or a wife, and yesterday we saw a couple who were successful at that. You know, they sought and found. But don't spend your life seeking a husband or seeking a wife, young people. Seek God. Let God bring you. You know, I was thinking about this morning. Brother, I got some, I just seemed to me, so, I had some clear insight into this business of marriage this morning. I was just there, I was having a shower, and I thought I could just see this clearly about why is it that ladies are different, or young ladies are different when they're getting married? Why is it so different? If you've got sons and daughters, and if none of them have been married, you'll find out when it comes. If they have, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. There's something different about young men and young women when they're getting married. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, we spoke yesterday of the picture of Christ and the church, but I want to go a little bit more than that this morning and digress for a moment. You're allowed to do that. And because it's all about seeking, not seeking just this. But when you think about the whole situation, God makes Adam in his own image. And then God gave to Adam Eve. Okay? Now, the Lord Jesus did what? He left heaven's glory, what? To seek a bride. Was the bride seeking him? No. Young ladies, you don't need to seek for a husband. Your heavenly Father will provide you a husband. He's already sent one in the Lord Jesus so that you might be saved, but you don't have to go seeking a husband. The husband's job is to seek for a wife. Right? And as I was thinking about this, you know, why is it? Well, we don't give our sons away, do we? They go, but what do? They leave the home. They leave. They're gone. We don't give them away. We wave them goodbye. All the best, son. Hope it works out. That's good. And with a daughter, oh my, that's different. We give them. And the Lord Jesus left heaven's glory that the Father might give to him a bride. And as fathers with daughters, when they meet the young man of God's choice, we give them to that young man, as we did yesterday when we gave Deborah to Caleb. And just some thoughts there that I was thinking about this morning, and how the believer is given to the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, all those which the Father gave me, I've kept. And just some... Anyway, you think about it. I was having fun myself. But seeking after God. Seek after God. Have a look at a couple of the Psalms. Psalm 42, you possibly know these Psalms well, but Psalm 42, and see a man who was seeking after God. And this man was a man called a man after God's own heart. But in Psalm 42, verse 1 says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, or seeks after water, so panteth my soul after thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David writes here and he says, I'm like that hart. I'm seeking after God. I'm not just half-hearted about this. I'm not just half-baked like most people are about this, David says. I am seeking diligently after God. I'm looking to have this close and intimate relationship with God. I've been listening to these tapes. I've been sort of sharing this a little bit recently, but some tapes by Terry Coomer. He's a past pastor in America. He's got a family called For the Love of the Family Ministry. And he says in these things, he says he's a pastor over 30 years. He said that, and I guess he's talking America, but probably he said 80% of children in Christian homes, including pastors' homes, do not go on and serve the Lord. He said one of the reasons is because they've never been taught to seek God. They've been given rules and regulations, and they've had certain things put in place, and they look good, and maybe for a while, and they kind of obey, yes sir, no sir. But when they get a little older, they're gone because they haven't been taught to seek God. They haven't seen that the most important thing in their life is their relationship with God. When I spoke with Caleb and Deborah, I asked them, I said, what do you think? The first time I spoke to them, I said, what do you think the most important thing in marriage is? I said, well, to be a good husband or a good wife. I said, they're all good things. I said, the most important thing is that you seek God and you have a relationship with God, because if you've got that, you've got some hope of getting through your marriage. So anything else won't work. We need to be seekers after God. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. Here's a heart, we could imagine it, maybe it's been chased by the hunter or whatever, or it might be just a drought period, whatever it was, but this heart or this deer is thirsty and it's seeking, where's the water? I need some water. Psalm 63, have a look there. Psalm 63. Notice what David says here in Psalm 63. Verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I'll lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Here's a man who is seeking after God in a very diligent and serious way. He's not half-hearted about it. You know, we got so many, you know, I just wonder whether, rather sometimes that Christians think, I don't want to be too fanatical, you know, I don't want to be considered a fanatic. Listen, you need to be fanatical about seeking God. That needs to be the priority in your life. You say, what about my wife or my family or my job? Yes, they're all important and they have their right place and you need to fulfill all those things. But primarily, and number one, you need to seek God. And you need to seek him as David did. Thou art my God. Can you say that? God, you are my God. We sing about those things. And we say that how great thou art. But are we singing about the God that we know and the God that we're seeking after? He said, I will seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. You know, more and more, I was saying, the last day or so ago, we were driving somewhere, I think Sharon and I, and we said, you know, this world is a mess. This world is a disgrace. Colin and I said, it's an embarrassment to be a human being. You think about New Year's Eve, how many millions of dollars went up in fireworks? It's an embarrassment. If someone came from another planet and said to me, are you a human being? I'd have to say, well, I am. I know it's pretty embarrassing. You think about it. We've supposedly got all these medical needs and hospital needs and all these people starving and people in other countries. Now, Karen, friends would know about that, what it's like to be up in a refugee camp for 12 years and all that sort of thing. And yet we can blow millions of dollars up in the sky in 5 minutes and just think nothing of it. It's a disgrace. It's an embarrassment. But David said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. You know, God alone can meet our deepest needs. We need one another. As talking with Caleb and Deborah, there are many needs that God's going to use you to meet in each other. There's no question, physical and emotional needs, and they're going to be met one to the other. There's no question about that. But your deepest needs only God can meet. The deepest needs only God can meet. Matthew 11:28, what did the Lord say there? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Where else are you going to find rest? Only in God. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find what? Rest unto your soul. Where are you going to find rest unto your soul? You got people out there, they want to commit suicide, they're taking drugs and alcohol, do everything to try and numb the pain, and there's only one way they're going to find rest unto their soul, and that's in the Lord Jesus. So come unto me, all you that labour, and I'll give you rest. Seek God. John chapter 14 and verse 13, that woman, she'd been married 5 times and the husband she's got now is not a husband at all. And she was thirsting and she was looking for something in life and she's trying to find that in relationships and it wasn't working and it never will. It'll give some salve to your problem, but that's all. Seek God. And the Lord Jesus said to her, he said, I've got some living water that I can give you. John 4:13-14. And he said, the water that I give, if you'll drink that, he said, you'll never thirst again. What a blessing that is. When I got saved, I had all sorts of hungers and thirst up until then. And from that day on, they all went. He says, life been perfect, almost. In some areas it has. I've never lost my salvation, amen. That's perfect. My sins are all forgiven, that's perfect. Oh, I got a home in heaven, that's perfect. A lot of things perfect, not everything. Still got a sinner, I was thinking about that. I was talking to Caleb and Deborah again, because it's very close to home, just last yesterday, I was still thinking about it. I was trying to read something to them on Thursday night, and I couldn't read it. I couldn't read it. And I said, I told you I might not cry, or I might, so I'm going to get out the road tonight. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know how you give your daughter, and I was reading this little article to them, this little comment about it, and says how the father works to keep his daughter pure and keep her lovely so that he can give her away, and he's done his best to do that. And I just said, oh Lord, how bad, how have I failed in so many ways? But I'm thankful Deborah doesn't have to rely just on me, amen? If she will seek God, God will make up the shortcomings I got. He'll take care of all that. He'll make up the shortcomings that Caleb will have, no problem there. He'll meet the deepest needs. He'll take care of any thirst or hunger. He'll take care of all that. You know, the Lord Jesus could say in John 6:35, he said, unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall, what? Never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. What a blessing. What a blessing. Only God can do that. And so we need to seek God. Seek God so that when we are hungry and thirsty, and we're talking spiritually here, of course, and even physically, seek God. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added. You know, I'm thinking about the psalm writer. Great peace of they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Isaiah 26 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You say, why would I want to seek God? You want perfect peace? Seek God. He'll give you perfect peace. Perfect peace. The world is seeking all sorts of things, and one of them is peace. If only we could get some peace in this world. And you know, you see people, we visit them, they're on drugs and they're involved in, you know, devils and all sorts of stuff, and there's no peace. No peace. No peace. And yet God said, he'll give them perfect peace. Thou wilt give him perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Seek God. Psalm writer says, let all those that seek thee rejoice. Rejoice. What did the Apostle Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord. In the book of Philippians, in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord. You know, we've got to be careful as independent fundamental Baptists that we don't let the charismatics have all the fun, amen?
Right.
They jump and holler and hoot and wave. I mean, I was talking to the pastor up that church there the other day, and he said, boy, you got some... He said, you're starting to look quite cool. You know, I don't like using that word, but that's okay. I knew I looked cool anyway. He said, have a look. He's got some thongs on. I think one of the girls said, yeah, they're Havana ones too. I said, oh my, that's good. He said, we could change this bloke yet. I said, you wait till we get there on Sunday. I'll be like this. We don't let him have all the fun, amen? Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let all those that seek thee rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. There ought to be some joy. You know, Peter spoke about joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Now, that's not going to be like that all day, every day. I don't think. That hasn't been my experience. But let me tell you, there are some days when it's like that. At least it's the odd occasion in the quiet time when I'm praying and I'm trying to seek God's face. There's some joy unspeakable and full of glory. Boy, I'm just, whoa, yes. Not in some just crazy emotional way, but as God stirs your emotions and you begin to think about the great salvation that we have in Christ. And, you know, sometimes I rejoice with tears. And I'm in a quiet time. I say, oh, Lord, how good it is to be saved. What a blessing to be saved. And I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. But all those that seek thee rejoice. Are you seeking God today? Are you rejoicing? And not only rejoicing, be glad in thee. Be glad. You glad you're saved this morning? You know, sometimes I worry. I think, brother, I look at it, I go, man, oh. Man, they're singing like they're not glad. You go to some place where they sing, brother, it's a worry. Is anybody saved here? I feel like asking them, anybody saved? They're singing, you know, to God be the glory, great things he have done. You know, it's pitiful. What does God say? That all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad. Now, yeah, we have our occasions when we maybe feel a little down. We've come here, we're out of sorts with God, we haven't confessed our sin, or we've got some test or trial, and we're not going to be quite so joyful and that sort of thing. We understand that, but overall, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad. Be glad, you say, boy, I'm glad I'm saved. I was talking to someone the other day, they said, boy, you know what, if you weren't saved, I said, I won't tell you what it would have been like. I won't tell you what it would have been like. Disgrace, I know that much. I'd be part of the embarrassment of the human race, unsaved. But rejoice and be glad. Be glad. And we're just looking at one verse. You read through the scriptures, and God's people are encouraged time and again to rejoice and be glad in God. Not just glad that I'm saved, but I'm rejoicing in God. I know God. The creator of all things, I know him. And I'm glad about that. I'm not sad about that. I'm glad about that. Let such as love thy salvation. You say, I'm glad about being saved, but do you love God's salvation? Let all those that are such as love thy salvation. You know, as much as people seek certain things, people love certain things, don't they? Some people love being busy. I just love being busy, doing what I want to do. People love being busy. Some people just love people. Yeah, I'm kind of like that. Before I got saved, I wasn't like that. I don't like them. I don't like them. That's why I bought a milk gun. You ask my wife. One of the reasons I bought a milk round so I could work at night so I didn't have to see people. That suited me just fine. I don't want to have anything to do with them. I'm sick of them. Yeah, I didn't tell everybody that, but that's how I was at. So I'm just glad to get away from them. I had to see the bloke down at the milk depot, and he wasn't a bad fella, so I could deny he saw him for a couple of minutes. That was okay. And didn't hardly see anybody all night, except one night when I was out there on Springbank Road, parked on the side of the road. I was just fixing, this is the days of milk bottles, I was fixing some milk bottles in the carrier, and these two fellas pulled up behind me, and they got out of their car. They both had on long overcoats and pretty scruffy looking fellas. They walked around toward me, and I didn't realise they were there initially. I looked around and said, ooh. And the fella had his hand in his pocket like that, and he said, give us your money. That was a time I knew I definitely didn't like people. I said, pardon? He said, give us your money. I said, give the money. I mean, I'm a bit thick, you see. Give the money. And then he said, no, it's all right, mate. He just want a couple of iced coffees if we could. Oh. Another reason why I don't like people, you see. Serious. So I gave them a couple of iced coffees, they paid me for it, and off they went. This is about 2:30 in the morning. It's a good time to have someone come up and say, give us your money. My. Some people just love people. Some people love money, don't they? Some people love, Paul warned about that, the love of money. Oh, he said, be careful of the love of money. It's the root of all evil. Which some having, chased after, pierced themselves through many sorrows. They love money. Some people love pleasure. Paul spoke about that, didn't he? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 4, he said there'll come a day when people will be lovers of pleasure. And what a fulfillment we see today. People love pleasure. Just can't get enough of it. Just give me something, give me something, give me something. Not only that, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, 2, he said men shall be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. But God says we're to love his salvation. Let such as love thy salvation. And so we are to seek God, and we're to rejoice and be glad in God, and we are to love his salvation. So how do you know whether you love God's salvation? Let me ask you a couple of questions to see whether you really love God's salvation. Do you love talking about it to people? Do you love talking to people about salvation? Because if you don't, let me go a little step further. Do you talk to people about salvation? Because if you don't, you don't love God's salvation. If you're saved and you don't talk to people about the Lord when the opportunity's there, you don't love God's salvation. You need to get your heart right and repent and get straight with God so that he'll give you that joy in your heart that'll keep bubbling up and you won't be able to not tell people about it. Amen? Love thy salvation. So ask yourself, do you talk about it to people? Do you talk about salvation? Do you, when you find someone who's lost, do you look for an opportunity to share the gospel that they're sinners and that Christ died for them on the cross and that he was buried and that he rose again physically and bodily from the grave? That's the simplicity of the gospel message. And then try and answer their questions and try and exhort them and tell them, you know, God wants you to repent. Paul said God commands us to have repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he preached to those there, the Athenians. He told them that. And do you love to do that? Boy, I love it. Once I get started. Sometimes I find it hard to get started, you know. When I get started, boy. I go and visit someone for 5 minutes, I'm there for 5 hours. Look out. Why? Because I love God's salvation. I love talking about it. I love telling people about it. Do you love singing about it? Oh, I love singing. I love singing those hymns. I just love it. Why? Because they're about salvation. They're about God. And they're just a blessing. And you say, well, I just sing because everybody else does. Well, you're not right with God. You need to love God's salvation. One of the tests will be you'll love singing. You know, again, we go to this church. I don't go to many. I like it here. This is God's country. And this is where, you know, this is where it all happens. But on occasions I've been in other churches and it's pitiful. You have to ask yourself, what's going on here? What's going on here? By their singing, they're saying they don't love God's salvation. There's got to be some joy there. There's got to be some rejoicing in the Lord if you're right with God. It just means you're not if you're not. It may mean you're not even saved. You know, some people think they're saved and they're not. Do you know for sure today that you're saved? Has there been a time in your life when you trusted Christ as your Saviour? Can you give some indication whether you're a younger or an older person? Can you say, yes, when I was here, there, somewhere? Somewhere I know that I'm saved because I trusted Christ as my Saviour. And by the way, you can't not know it. You can't not know it. You don't slide into the kingdom. You don't slip into heaven one day. You go in full bore, let me tell you that. When you get saved, you go from darkness to light. You go from death to life. And I love to tell the old story, amen, of Jesus and his love. We love to do it. Love to do it. I'd love to preach the gospel every Sunday, every message, do nothing else. I'd love it. Occasionally we get on some issues, don't we? Some contemporary issues. We've had a few months of them. Boy, they're good. You just learn some things that way. But, you know, we love to talk about salvation. It ought to be the case. Colin and I come around. Colin's a shocker. It's not my fault. He comes around to my place and he says, I'm just here 5 minutes past. And I know straight away he's lied to me. He's never there for 5 minutes. And after a couple of hours, we're rejoicing in what God has done through Christ.
Amen.
Being saved. What a blessing. We love his salvation. We love the Lord. And all that God's done for us. We love him for that. And we love his salvation. And then the psalm writer says, all right. And not only are you to seek God, but all those that seek thee, rejoice and be glad in him. Let such as love thy salvation say continually. Not just every now and then when you're feeling good. Continually what? Let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. You know magnified, what it means? Means to make great. Let God be made great in your life. seek him. You know what Hebrews tells us? Without faith it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. Why wouldn't you want to seek God? He wants to give you his peace, perfect peace that passes all understanding. He wants to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He wants to quench every thirst and every hunger that you've ever had. He wants to do that. He wants to do that. If you're not saved, he wants to save you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that he might be able to save you. David says, let God be magnified. How often? Continually. Continually. The people look at our lives and they can see there's something different and God is being magnified in our lives continually. Continually magnified. To make God great. Remember Hebrews chapter 13 where the Bible talks there about the sacrifice of our lips and the praise of our lips, which is to be offered continually. Continually to do that. Continually to magnify God. To continually, as it were, brag on God. You know, if we're seeking God, who are we seeking? We're seeking the Creator of all things. We're seeking the one who, in a moment of time, said, let there be. Well, it wasn't a moment of time. There was no time until he said, let there be. But God, who for all eternity existed in the perfect harmony and unity of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there was no need of anyone or anything. This God, the eternal God who could say, I am the Creator God. God's the way to magnify him. Continue. You think about it. Think about it. God, who's the judge of all men, the judge of all men, we're to magnify him. Think about it. God is the ruler of the universe. There's nothing that happens that God doesn't allow overseas. Nothing. Nothing happens without God being aware of it and either allowing or disallowing. God is the sovereign ruler of the universe. God is the savior of all men. Think about our God. Shouldn't be too hard to magnify him, at least a little. How great thou art. How great thou art. I'm glad Brother Nick picked that hymn. I was going to pick it anyway if he didn't. Just shows he was right with God this morning. Amen. How great thou art. How great thou art. Mary, when she heard the news about having the Lord Jesus, she rejoiced. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul does make God great. I think about what God is going to do in and through me. What a great God. And you and I can be like Mary and understand that God wants to do something great through you. Anything that God does is great. Amen? You don't have to be a pastor of 50,000 people for that to be great. You don't have to be a pastor for God to do something great. We've got a great God. And the only things we can do is what God does through us. And they're all great because he's a great God, amen? Be encouraged. So I'm nobody. That's good. God likes nobodies. I'm a nobody. God likes us. They say, who's that fella? He's down at Mount Gambier. Where's that? Nobody. That's good. I like that. But God knows. He's a great God. And we're to magnify him. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. I trust this morning you're a seeker after God. A seeker after God. You could say with David, my soul thirsteth for thee. And then, you know what that'll do? That'll bring some rejoicing and some gladness. And that'll bring some love for his salvation. And that'll enable us to magnify God. And may the Lord help us to do that. If you're not saved this morning, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. You say, how do I get saved? Very simple. Very simple. The message is very simple. You say, I don't understand it all. Who said you have to understand it all? You are to believe it, though. What are you to believe? You're to believe that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. And you're to believe that God raised him physically and bodily from the dead on the third day. And you believe the reason why he did that, because you're a sinner. And you need to turn from your sin and yourself and your religion and whatever else you think you've got and turn to God and say, God, please forgive me a sinner. And God will do that because he said, whosoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you and bless you for this morning. And Lord, you are truly a great God. And Lord, our heart's desire is to magnify you. That all those that seek thee, Lord, may it be said of us, Lord, everyone here today, Lord, that we are a seeker after God. Lord, not in the sense to be saved, if we're already saved, but seek to know you, the great God who created all things, the eternal I Am, the one who is the judge and the ruler and the creator and the saviour of all. To seek to know you, Lord, and to be, it's like, Lord, if we were to go down to the ocean today with a teaspoon and try and empty the ocean, it would take us forever and ever and ever and ever. And so it is about knowing our God, Lord. You're so great that, Lord, that's not even a good comparison. And so, Lord, the more we seek you and the better we know you, Lord, the more we can rejoice and be glad and love your salvation and magnify you, Lord. May that be true in our lives. And Father, may it be that if there's someone here this morning who's not saved, Lord, you know their hearts. You know where they're at. Lord, that they might just now, right now, Lord, you would have mercy on them and save them. Now, Father, you alone know the needs. You alone know the, who's here and who needs salvation, if anybody at all. Lord, I pray that you'd bring them to that place of rest and trust in Christ as their Savior. Just while our eyes are closed and heads bowed, just ask the question, then we'll close the service with some singing. But this morning, let me ask you this. Are you saved? Do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that one day you're going to spend eternity with the Lord? If you're not, then I want to encourage you to trust Christ as your Saviour this morning. I want to exhort you to do that, encourage you to do that. Say, how do you do that? Let me go through it one more time. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe that he died in your place. Believe he was buried. Believe he rose again on the third day and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that, and turn to him and ask him forgiveness, he'll save you. Does anybody this morning say, Pastor, pray for me, I need to be saved, I'm going to trust Christ this morning as my Saviour, it's going to be a very definite thing I'm going to do, I'm going to settle salvation, could you pray for me? Anybody at all, you just slip your hand up, I'll just say, God bless you, and you can take your hand down. But this morning, you want to be saved, you want to trust Christ as your Saviour. Anybody at all? So we look to close out our service. I don't want to hurry anybody, I don't want to press you in the wrong way. But if you're not saved today, ought to be the day of your salvation. Now is the time. Anybody at all? Father, again, we thank you for this time. Lord, help us as we close out our service in song, Lord, to truly magnify you. Let us rejoice and be glad and love thy salvation. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.